This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. I remember when I was a senior in high school and I was doing the thing that many seniors in high schools do. I was applying to college. But for some reason, I only decided to apply to two colleges. And when I received word back from these colleges, much to my discouragement, I found that I was waitlisted from both of these colleges. Now, if you don't know what waitlisted means, it means you are neither accepted or rejected. It means they are going to wait and see if they accept you later on. And I remember being filled with all sorts of fear and worry and anxiety because I had set my hope and my goal on going to college, and the only two colleges that I had applied to had both waitlisted me. I remember going to my guidance counselor who had helped me apply to college and sharing the news with him. He very calmly talked me through the process, gave me some wonderful advice and guidance, and with his help, got to work preparing to once again send information to these colleges that would hopefully accept me. And because of his guidance and by the grace of God, I was accepted to one of these colleges, which I am grateful for because it was at this college that I discovered God was calling me to be a pastor. And more importantly, met my wife of 11 years. Now, this guidance counselor that helped me get into college, he was not only my guidance counselor, but he was also a member of my home congregation. And so later on, after I graduated from college, went to seminary, him and his wife invited me over to their home for dinner. And I remember sitting down with him and his wife and my wife, and I remember reminiscing together about that period in my life of all the different things that I went through, all the stress and worry about getting into college. And he told me that it was very important to him that I get into college because he knew that if I could just get to the next step, God would bring me to where he wanted me to be. We talked more about kind of how life is funny, how it has ups and downs, twists and turns, is rarely predictable and often unpredictable. And then he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said something to me that has stuck with me throughout my entire life. He told me that when students have come into his office over the years, stressed and worried about what is going to happen to them, he told me that he always says to them the same thing. He says that at the end of the day, all you have is your character. At the end of the day, all you have is your character. I think about those words often because, like all of you, I often find myself in situations that are not ideal, situations that are unpredictable, situations that are disappointed and frustrating. And I think about those words that at the end of the day, all you have is your character. Because the one thing that you can control is not always what happens to you, but the one thing that you can control is how you respond to it. As Christians, we don't use the word character, we use the word discipleship. And discipleship is like character in the sense that discipleship is character values rooted in Christ. That we might say as Christians, at the end of the day, all you have is your discipleship. How you walk with the Lord Jesus in this world, both through good times and bad. And if we're being honest with ourselves, walking with Jesus in good times is easier. Walking with Jesus in good times, it's easy to say, thanks be to God, look at all the blessings he's given us. But it's walking with Jesus in difficult times where our faith is formed, where the rubber truly meets the road. We are tested in ways that are not ideal, but if we live through the fire, if you will, we will find that God strengthens our faith and strengthens our peace. Perhaps there is no better example of a person living through uncertain and difficult times and staying rooted in Christ is the person in our scripture reading today. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Acts. And if you've been with us these last few weeks, you know that the book of Acts is literally about the actions and activities of Jesus' disciples after Jesus rose from the dead and went to heaven. And we read the book of Acts today as a way of knowing how we are supposed to act and think as Christians. And what happened in our scripture reading today is that the 12 apostles, those 12 disciples of Jesus who followed him while he was on earth, became leaders in the Christian church. They became leaders in the Christian church, and they began to go around the world and start all sorts of churches, but they realized that their needs of the community, the churches that where they were starting, were greater than what they could fulfill. That they needed more pastors and more leaders than just the 12 of them, specifically to look after widows and orphans. You see, in Jesus' day, to be a widow was a devastating thing like it is today, but to be a widow meant that you were often left without an income or money. Because in Jesus' day, women did not get careers. In Jesus' day, women were completely reliant on their father and then their husband for support and survival. And so if a woman lost her husband and a father had already passed away, she could very easily become destitute. And so the apostles set up different people, pastoral caretakers, if you will, to make sure that the widows and the orphans were taken care of. And one of these people was a man named Stephen. And Stephen was full of faith and not only took care of the widows and the orphans, but he also preached and taught the word of God. And this offended some people, specifically the same sect of religious people that had seen Jesus put to the cross. They suddenly set their sights and their eyes on Stephen. Now, Stephen was blameless. He had done no wrong. He had preached the word of God faithfully, and so they had to make up stories about him, about things he did not say and do so that he might be put to death. And so they said that Stephen was preaching against Moses, saying that people didn't need to believe the words that Moses said or taught, that because of Jesus, it was all rubbish. And so this deeply offended this religious community, and so they brought Stephen before a group known as the Sanhedrin, which is basically a council, a trial board that would decide Stephen's fate. Now, what does Stephen do in this moment? Does he beg for his life? Does he say, "I didn't say any of those things"? Does he plead? Does he try to manipulate? Does he try to gain their favor and approval? No, instead, Stephen begins to tell a story. The story of God from the beginning of the book of Genesis all the way through Jesus. And he uses this opportunity with his life on the line, with his back against a wall, to preach and teach the word of God, to lift up the gospel to all who would hear it. The people became enraged at this, and so they began to throw stones at Stephen. And Stephen's last words are asking God to receive his spirit. And then he models Jesus on the cross by saying to those who are persecuting him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, Stephen was rooted in the gospel. Stephen's discipleship was secure. It was faithful both in good times and in bad. And because of this, despite his persecution, despite the obstacles that he faced, Stephen was filled with peace. The scripture says that when those who would persecute him and judge him looked at him, his face was like an angel. You see, despite Stephen's trials and sufferings, he had peace. And we can have peace too in the midst of sufferings and setbacks. You see, in today's day and age, we have so many things, so many modern conveniences, so many things that if you went back 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, people would marvel at it. They'd think that we had superpowers for the ways that we are able to fly, drive, and connect across the world. But perhaps despite all the modern conveniences that we have, the thing that we are lacking the most is peace. And maybe the reason that we are lacking peace is because we got the formula all wrong. You see, most people believe and live their lives thinking that once everything goes my way, once I have everything lined up, once I have everything and everyone around me that I care about in a good place, then I can have peace. But how often does that happen? How often does it happen that we have everything that we need? How often does it happen that ourselves and everyone that we care about is doing perfectly okay? Almost never, right? And so if that is our formula for peace, we might never get it, or we'll get it so rarely it won't become a foundational point of our lives. But Jesus says in the Gospels, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. I do not give to you as the world gives to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." See, peace comes not when we get everything external the way that we want it. Peace comes when our hearts and our actions are aligned with Christ. Peace comes when we make the commitment to follow Jesus and to be his disciples, to walk his walk, no matter what is happening around us. A couple weeks ago, my family and I had the opportunity to go to one of our favorite places in the world, Disney World. And when we went to Disney World, we went to a new area of Disney World called Star Wars Land. See, a number of years ago, Disney World bought the rights to Star Wars, and they created a new area of one of their parks that is completely based around Star Wars. And while in Star Wars Land, we had the opportunity to go on one of the coolest rides that I've ever gone on. It's called Rides of the Resistance. And it's a Star Wars ride, and it is so interesting and unique and fun, not just because the ride is cool, but when you go on the ride, they actually put you in the story. That it's more than just a ride, you are a character in the story. And in the beginning of the story, you are part of this group known as the Rebel Alliance, which for you non-Star Wars fans is the good guys. And so as the good guys, you have this secret mission not to give up these secret battle plans that the bad guys are trying to take from you. And trying to be the fun dad that I am, I really tried to play this up to my two older boys, say, "Okay, guys, no matter what happens, we can't give them the secret battle plans." And so you get on the ride, and of course, very quickly, you become captured. And all of a sudden, you emerge on this enemy ship, and you're walking through, and there is this group of people who are the Imperial officers, who are the bad guys, while you're standing in line waiting for the next part, interrogating you, asking you all sorts of questions. And I remember one of these Imperial officers going to my 5-year-old son and asking him, "Do you know where the secret battle plans are?" My 5-year-old son looked at him serious and said, "I don't know anything." and the officer moved on. Well, then we went in all sorts of different rooms and rides, and of course, in the end, we were rescued. Now, I share this story with you because I've been thinking about that a lot, that how it parallels our lives and the choices that we make as Christians. You see, we are often taken through life like it's a ride, and sometimes things are good, and sometimes things are bad. Sometimes it feels like we're on the winning team, and sometimes it feels like we're on the losing team, but I just thought about how proud I was of my 5-year-old son that even in the midst of this situation, even in the midst when it's seemingly bleak, he continued to stay to the principles of the Rebel Alliance and not give up the secret battle plans. As Christians, we don't always choose when the storms come. But when the storms come, we choose how we stand in the storm. And the storms come for all of us, whether we want them or not. And the question isn't always, how do we get rid of the storm or why is the storm here? It's how do we stand in the storm in faith? How do we have a faith like Stephen that stands for God both in good times and in bad? You see, Stephen understood something that was really important. Stephen understood that his life was like a link on a chain. You see, so often the world teaches us that our life is all about us. That grab as much as you can, take as much as you can for yourself, because this life is all there is. And if you miss out on something, you miss out forever. But Stephen understood differently. He understood that his life was a link on a chain. And this chain was bigger than he was. And this chain was the chain of Jesus Christ. And if he had faith, if he trusted Jesus, despite the twists and turns, despite the ups and downs, the chain could not be broken. Yes, they took Stephen before this council. Yes, they threw rocks and stones at Stephen. But despite all this, they could not break him. They could not break his faith. Instead, they simply sent him to paradise. Whatever might be going on in your life, whatever seasons or difficulties you may experience, stand with Christ. Stand for Christ. Align yourself with him. Walk as his disciples. And you will have peace. You will have peace not because you're never disappointed, not because you never suffer, not because things always go your way. You will have peace because you will understand, like Stephen, you are part of a chain that cannot be broken. That whatever you are going through, God will pull you through it again and again and again. So stand firm. Stand fast. Stand on the foundation that will not crumble, the foundation that exists now and for all eternity. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for Stephen today, an example of being a man of steadfast faith. We ask, Lord, that you would help us not turn to others in difficult times, but turn to you, and that you would form our words and our actions so that in every walk of life we may be faithful. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.